reason, in the ministry that I have as the presiding bishop of TICN, the International Christian Church Network, I have had the privilege of ordaining many people and overseeing ministries and guiding people. But you know, some of those people, I think several now, well, I know several are ex-gangsters. And I thought this, I've been reflecting on this week. Now, I have no connection with that in my background or anything, but they seem to gravitate towards me. And something occurred to me as I was reflecting. I was speaking to someone this week about certain things. And what... this is a man who was an ex-gangster, American mafia. And he goes around universities and places and speaks and goes around churches and anywhere where really he's invited. And sometimes he speaks to these sports groups, you know, sports teams, professional sports teams. And he says, especially when he goes in to speak to the American football teams. This is what he does, because those American football teams, you know, there's some big people in those teams. He says they're like, you know, the big people in there, they're about 6'8" tall, and they're massive, you know, huge. And he says, I want the big ones sitting in the front always. He says, he tells them, when they seat them in the front. And so he goes for the biggest of them. Always the biggest at the start. And he goes up to the biggest one, 6'8", massive, huge, with a massive reputation, multimillionaire sportsman, you know, tough guys. And he says, well, stand up. He said, wow. He said, and he's only a small chap. He's not a big chap at all. He says, wow. He says, he said, if I met you on that football field, he said, hey, that would be a frightening scenario. He says, the size of you, he said, that would be. But he said, I want you to know something. And he points to a line in the floor. You cross over that line into my territory, and it'll be very different. His size won't matter at all. Now, the point of this story is important for us. Very important. Because we need to know whose territory it is that we occupy. We need to know with an assurance whose side of the line it is that we're on, and we, from that position, can act with some authority and power and not look at the enemy and say, isn't he so big? He's not so big. He's not so big at all. If he comes on my territory, on my ground, he isn't big at all. He's a defeated foe. And I need to know that. And I need to make sure that I tell him that and act like that's the way that it is. That's what God's word tells us. But I'll tell you what happens most of the time, because the church is filled with too many wimpy people. I'm just being honest. He's not called us to be wimpy. He's called us to be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, believe me, I can be a big wimp. Oh, I'm capable of it. Believe me, I can be really wimpy if I choose to be. It's my choice. It's in me. I have the capability. It's a decision that I have to make, not based on emotion, not based on anything, based on nothing but the word of God. And this is the key thing that I'm saying to us this morning. We have to establish ourselves. Listen, I'm saying this week, I've had several conversations. The reason why I'm speaking this today is conversations that I had yesterday at the men's breakfast led me to this subject this morning. And I want to say this, that we've got a church here, Living Faith Church, okay, which should be set upon real strong principles, okay, of the word that we can, should, okay? And I think it's time for that to change. Amen. And I think that we need to make a shift now and say, listen, no, it's over. The past is over. From this moment onwards, we are, each one of us, going to make a commitment, okay, to work in accordance with this word, to do every day, do something that will align us with this word so that we will walk in a clarity of which side of this line we're on, and we will establish that in our lives. If we don't, what's going on out there? Listen, the world needs Christians to be walking in this truth. It doesn't need religion. It doesn't need a nice church. Let me explain it like this to you. And I'm going to ask you to what you think on this. I'm going to come closer because I really want us to understand this. Am I going off here? I can get things wrong, but I want you to test my logic, okay? Really now engage, okay? Everyone engaged?
Yeah.
Right, listen now. Jesus says at the end of Mark, for example, these signs will follow them that believe.
Yeah.
Okay, they're going to what? They're going to cast out demons. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. That's two things. They'll speak in new tongues. Now that's, I'm talking now about what the Bible, and it's not just that, but that's established as New Testament teaching on what it is to be a Christian, okay? Are you with me, everyone? Right. So if I was to write a letter to all the pastors in the UK, and I would say, dear pastor, please tell me if this happens in your church. Do you cast out demons? Well, we'd be down to probably 80. I think we'd be down to probably, there'd only be 90. We'd lose 95% of churches. Okay? Please follow this because this is important, right? Look, everyone, I know I've mentioned this before. Don't think, oh, I've heard this before. Don't think that. I'm talking about a line today. This is in context with a line. So we're down to 5% now. Perhaps, I think at the most. And then say, right, okay, well, do you speak in tongues? We would lose, with the amount of cessationists out there, we're going to lose perhaps, although there again, they wouldn't be, if they didn't do the first, they wouldn't. So maybe we wouldn't lose any if we did it that way around. Should have done it the other way. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Then the third one then, okay, right? Lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Well, we've seen plenty of that. We have testimonies after testimonies after testimonies of that in this church. Most churches don't. What you find in most churches, if you go to Africa, you see the healings in Africa. Oh, you got to go to India to see the healings in India. I went to Africa. When I went to Africa, they'd never seen what happened. In Africa, when I went to India, they'd never seen what happened. A little child, a little baby was carried to me, for example, at the end of one meeting, clubbed feet in the middle of a tribe in the jungle in India. Clubbed feet. I didn't realize till afterwards. That means there's no bones in the feet. And in Jesus' name, I saw those things come out. The mother put the baby down and he ran off. Everyone was jumping. Everyone was happy. It's what Jesus has done. That's the reality of Jesus. That's the truth of the gospel. That's what the United Kingdom needs. No religion. And what have they got? They've got, okay, picture. We're maybe down now to 1%. We've lost probably 99% of churches. Well, picture with me what that means. If 99% of churches haven't qualified as having these signs that follow, 99%! I mean, but you see, what's happened is people have got so used to it, they think I'm the odd one out for saying it. They think there's something wrong with me. Oh, why are you getting all flustered? You just relax. This is the way it is. I won't. I won't relax. I won't go along with the tide. I won't go along with it because it's not going along with what the Bible says. And I've been called to follow what the Bible says. And here's the thing. We ought, okay, to then be questioning. Picture with me this. 100 churches. You know, this church building here. Okay? And then you picture some, you know, those nice ones with the spire, the steeple on them. Yeah? Nice buildings. All sorts. Picture 100 church buildings. Abraham, are you listening? I just saw him peeping in through that door. Abraham, we want you to be listening. Good boy, this is going to do you really good for your future. Good man. Okay, he's trying to get into there. Good man, Abraham. I know he's listening. Listen, okay? 100 churches. Picture 100 buildings. Yeah. But in your mind now, picture 100 buildings. 100. This is one. 100. And then all the people go into those buildings. And then just one of them is perhaps just one of them is qualifying itself as according to the word of God. You see how important it is?
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, we have to be very clear on what's going on.
Yeah.
And we need to say, look, we are standing then on the truth of the gospel. Yeah. And we have a responsibility now to be disciplined, to be a soldier of God in this victorious army called the Kingdom of God. Okay? And how do we do it? Well, let's go, first of all, today, let's go to the book of Ephesians. I was listening this week. You know, I'm so happy, you know, that I was influenced. When I went to Bible college, I was so happy to be influenced by the Word of Faith movement. When I went to Bible college, I went to the London Bible College. I did my first theology degree there. And most of the people that went to that college, where they were from Baptists, the Anglicans, all sorts of different denominations went there for the theology degree. It's the well-known college. I think they call it the London Seminary now. And it's a very good Bible college. But as I look back on the people who were students with me, Most of them have a shipwrecked faith. Most of them. I was thinking, why is this? How could this be? This is what happens when people get sloppy and they start going along with a denominational perspective, let's say, or they start going along with the fashion and the trends of the day. And then their enjoyment of the Lord and the worship and that wanes and just things start to decrease and decrease. And in the end, they're just lost, shipwrecked. It's so sad. Here's a way that to ensure that that will never happen. Amen. It's to be established on the word. And this week, I was remembering something that I heard from Kenneth Hagin, where he prayed the prayers from Ephesians 1. I want to turn to Ephesians 1 now with you, please. This is really about something very important for us, and it's connected with what I've been saying about this line. It's a case of saying, no, I know where I stand. I'm standing this side of the line, and I can have confidence in this. And there's a tremendous assurance that I can have. I know where I stand. In Ephesians 1, verses 16, it says this. I'll read from 16 to 20. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Oh, my word, what scriptures. What wonderful words and verses of truth these are. It says this, Kenneth Hagin decided to use this as a template for his prayer. He'd been in a denominational church and he was a pastor in this church. And there's another prayer in Ephesians 3. Let's read that now, in fact. Let's just go to Ephesians 3 from verse 14. Okay. Ephesians 3 verse 14. It says this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And he says that the turning point of his life came when he prayed those verses every day, thousands of times. He prayed them and prayed them and prayed them for 6 months. Every time he'd go into the church, which was next door to where he lived, he would just pray these verses. They'd be there, and he'd go in, and sometimes for a couple of days at a time, he'd be praying on these verses, really praying on these verses, meditating on these verses, you see, establishing himself on these verses. You see, it's all very well for me to say, there's a line, and we're this side of the line, and we've got to be clear on it. It's all very well to say that. Great. What does it mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that if you're serious about God, you better study the Word of God. Amen. You'd better study the Word of God, and you better not allow yourself to say, well, I don't like study. So what? Change what you like and start to like it. Amen. Okay? Yeah. Is that clear?
Amen.
Be tough with yourself. Yeah. Be tough with yourself. Talk to yourself. Give yourself a bit of discipline and say, no, I will make myself study it. Amen. If it's that important, make yourself study it. Say, who cares what I enjoy? Of course I don't enjoy it. What's my favorite food? If I had to pick one food in the whole world that I think is the most tasty, delicious food, do you know what it would be? Candy floss. I don't know, there's something about that candy floss stuff. You get that candy floss, it's just a mesmerizing thing. I'm a bit mesmerized. They have a stick and they go, have you seen them doing it? How does it come? I get mesmerized. I could watch them doing it for hours. I just watch them, they go around and around. And then you get the big pink candy floss and you bite it. It's delicious. There's something about it. But if you stick with just, if that's all you're going to eat, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Just because I like it, it doesn't mean I should do it. Okay? And we need to be wise and say, listen, you may like it, but that's no reason to do it. I've stopped eating candy floss. Apart from on special occasions. But I don't remember the last time it was, years ago. But the point is that we've got to be serious with this stuff, you see. And look, it's not just for our lives, although that's number one. Because we have to, you know. Look, the pressure doesn't come. You do this, the pressure doesn't come. When you need this, You can only... How can I explain it, Lord? Okay. This is how I'm going to explain it. This is what I've got to explain it, okay? If you have a problem, let's say, a health problem, a sickness, a problem in your life, okay? Yeah. And you have a problem and it's putting pressure on you, okay? Yeah. The pressure's pushing down. What happens is you access, you go to God, you pray a prayer, and actually, you know what the Lord says to you? He says, I've given you authority. I've given you what to do. I've told you it's finished. It's now your responsibility to use the equipment that I've given you. The weapons of our warfare are small and not very powerful. Mighty. Mighty. And powerful. For what? So when the pressure's on, we've been given mighty weapons to be used. But it's just like the gym. If you go to a gym and you've got, you go to a gym and you're doing a bench press, how much can you bench press? You start off and maybe you just go, you know, it's just the empty bar and you just get used to doing it. Okay, but the pressure's come. There's a situation. It's not an empty bar situation. It's a 50 kilogram situation. Well, you can just, well, you go to God, you pray and you say, oh, Lord, help me through it, help me through it. Oh, just great. Okay. But when it's a 100 kilo situation, that's when you find out the thankfulness that you'd have for having been disciplined, to have studied, because when you study and when the scripture is dwelling in there and it goes into you, you become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And what happens is when that big thing is pushing down, then you've got plenty to push up 100 kilo, no bother. You go 150 kilo, I can do it. No brother. You want another one? I can do it. Because you've been doing it and doing it and doing it. When the pressure comes, you have the power to respond. How does the power come? The power comes from... Actually, have I got a copy of my book here? That last book. Thanks, Sonny. You get one for me. It's in the book because it's very important. That one, that's it. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you. I want to show this because this is important. Very important. You see, I'm not just put it in the, just to write a book and say, oh, look, this is a, this wants to be used. The circle of success or victory, okay? Study, okay? This is how this works, so that when the problem is pushing in, you can push back. Study produces authority, okay? Authority used, because you've still got to use it. You've still got to push back. If you don't push back, it's just going to be pressing on you. And even that, using the authority, is a decision. Yeah. So the first decision is to say, I'm going to study. Yeah. Decision one. Decision two, that produces authority. Decision two is to use the authority that you've now got. Yeah. And that manifests power. Right. And the power then changes things. Right. Changes the circumstances. Yeah. So when there's a situation pressing in, boom, we can respond. We're not victims. Amen. Yeah. He's not called us to be victims. He's called us to be victorious.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Victorious, not victims. So I want to share this because this shows the attitude that was very helpful for Brother Kenneth Hagin. Reverend Hagin, he was doing this, and he went into that church and he was praying these prayers, and he put his own name in these prayers first. Later on, he would put other people's names in these prayers. But just want you to see this from Ephesians 1. Let's go back there, and this time I'll put my name in. I cease, Ephesians 1 verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for me. Oh. That sounds a bit big-headed, isn't it? No. No, it's not big-headed. It's thinking in line with the Bible. This is Bible thinking, okay? Making mention of me in my prayers. I'm praying for myself. I'm thanking God that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And his testimony was, after 6 months of praying this thousands of times, okay, this is the first part of what he would be praying, what he found was the spirit of revelation and wisdom came upon him. And he turned to his wife one day, he said, what on earth have I been preaching all this time? He said, what have I been preaching? He said, he realized the authority of this scripture. He realized that all sorts of things from the New Testament. He started about revelation about the kingdom of God, revelation about his position in Christ, and all that encompassed, you know. And I'll just read on. Let's read on from verse 18. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know the hope of his calling. Are you with me, everyone?
Yes.
And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards me, who believes, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. It personalizes the scripture.
Yeah.
You see, it personalizes it. And what's happened too often in our lives is that what we've done is we've read a little bit of scripture and we've read it and we felt we've done good because we've been reading the Bible today, you know, a verse a day and, you know, and all. No. That's not what he's called us to. He's called us to draw a clear line there so that we can stick our fingers in the enemy's face if we need to and say, I resist you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I know in whom I have believed. I've studied this. I'm assured of my position in Christ. And you dare, I win. You know? That's a strength. I mean, that's a strong attitude. That's a long way from religion.
Amen.
That's a long way from the ritual of religion, which so often, sadly, the church has embraced. You know, I'm speaking along the same lines here as John Wesley. This is what Wesley preached. This is going back to the real roots of everything that has blessed this nation and established this nation. Because Wesley was told by the Moravians, he was preaching, and he said, I haven't got faith. He said, how can I preach faith if I haven't got it? And they told him, well, you preach faith. And if you preach faith until you have faith, you'll preach faith because you've got faith.
Yeah.
But until you get faith, just preach faith. And that's what he started to do. He said, well, I'll preach it then. Okay, I'll preach faith. He started preaching faith. And the first thing he did was lead someone who was in prison to the Lord. And he just kept on doing it. He thought, well, this works. I'm going to preach faith. And he kept on preaching faith. And Kenneth Hagin often quoted, he was a student of John Wesley, and he would often quote Wesley. And I'm just so thrilled, you know, that this is what we should do. But it's looking, so what I'm saying this morning is this. The line is established and it becomes very strong the more we study. The more we study, the more we understand the word, that line gets really strong. And then you know that you know that you know where you are and what you're about. You know you have authority. You know you have that power to do what God's called you to do. Amen?
Amen.
So it says, yeah. It's sort of, and then you start to act on that authority then, you know, the prayers are acted on. I just thank the Lord. What a beautiful thing. In Ephesians, I'll just go to Ephesians 3, and let me just read it out from there as we put it into the, personalize the words there. Ephesians 3 from verse 14, it says this, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith." Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God, yes. And you see, he started to get then a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what will happen when we study those scriptures and we study them and we study them and we pray those scriptures and we take those scriptures in. What happens is a spiritual growth takes place. And then what happens is we have an understanding of our authority, understanding that gives the authority. Authority used produces power. Power changes things. That's the equation, everyone. Isn't it beautiful? And it works. It really does work. So, you know, Ephesians 6 goes on, you know. It says in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's a bigness to things. And the pressure at times is real. The pressure is strong. But praise God, we have that great potential. And glory to God, he's calling us, okay, to use that great potential. I'm so excited about it. And it's just a joyous thing. And let me give you an illustration, okay? You know, one time he had a... one time he said he was going to... This is Brother Hagin. He said, oh, I was going to to get some fuel for my car. And he turned up there and he opened up his wallet and it was empty. I said, oh, he's running out of petrol on his journey. He had, you know, so it caused a whole problem for him and all sorts of difficulties. But a few months later, he realized that in the billfold of the wallet, in the inner part of it, he had previously put a $20 bill. He forgot about it. He forgot about it. He didn't realize that he had what was needed to meet the problem.
Yeah.
He didn't realize that he had what was needed to meet the problem. He just didn't realize that he really had what was needed to meet the problem. We've got what is needed to meet the problem. And God is saying, use it. Use it, he's saying. Yes, that's it, Samuel Evans. That's what I like. Enthusiasm from the youngsters. It's great to see, you know. I'm so excited Because when I was his age, I didn't have his wisdom. When I was Macy's age, I didn't have her wisdom. When I was Zach's age, I just didn't have that confidence. I look at them and I think, oh, thank you, Lord. And Abraham there in the back and our little, lovely little girl, darling. And that little boy there who gave me a good thumbs up this week when he was painting. Good man. And if I missed anyone out, you're included as well. That little girl there is definitely included. Because they've heard about Jesus. They've heard about this authority. They know this truth. And in this stupidsville, they're going a different way. I don't want to be mean, everyone. I'm just being honest, okay? I have to be honest. I only have a short time. I got to be succinct at times. You know, I don't want to sound harsh, but I've just, you know, really. It's like a Monty Python sketch. If you remember Monty Python. Or that man, you know. No, I won't. No. You know, it says, you know, in Luke 10:19, it says this: I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. Everyone say all. Everyone sing all. Everyone sing it with a bit more melody. The power of the enemy. That's what it says. That's what it says. Listen, everyone, I'm talking now, okay, I'm having fun, but I'm talking about the word of God. You see, what people do is, okay, they hold it up, oh, they kiss it, they show so much respect to it. It doesn't want to be kissed. It doesn't want to have that kind of reverence. What it wants is to, if you really reverence the word of God, believe it! That's what reverence is, believing the thing, walking with it and saying, I believe this scripture. This is the truth of God. It's mine. I'll have it now. That's the reverence that God wants. Belief. And he says this, and he says that this is what will happen. You know, there's another testimony. I want to share this with you. This is what happens, okay? You know, there's a scripture. There's a scripture that says, be sober, be vigilant, be sober. Be sober, wise, vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is roaring a lion. Yeah. Is as a roaring lion. Yeah. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. Oh. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Okay. So we're back to the lion. Let me give you an illustration. The lion is there. Resist steadfast in the faith. I'll tell you what happened to Brother Hagan. It was an interesting thing. He had a heart situation. Yeah. And this, his heart was, as a young boy, he was bedfast and they said he was going to die. And they didn't give him long to live. And he came about Mark 11 and speak to the mountain, all things are possible. And he started to believe. And he thought, well, healing is in the Bible. I can believe for healing. But then, all these years later, he's in the ministry now, and he was healed. He was, you know, he was up and became a preacher and became a minister, and he's in the ministry. But in the nighttime, his heart would be racing. And there was all the signs of the heart problem that he was told was going to kill him a few years before. And he would get up out of bed and he'd walk around and pray. But it persisted for weeks. He didn't tell his wife. He didn't tell anyone. But one night he was in pain and he walked around and he fell on his knees. And he prayed again, as he had done previously, and just went back to bed and drifted off to sleep. And that night he had a dream. And the dream was that he was with a friend and they were in this huge arena and two lions were running towards them. And they turned and they ran away from the lions. And he realized that he couldn't outrun the lions. The end of the stadium, they were in the middle. It was too far away. And he said to his friend, "We'll never outrun them." And he turned around and he walked towards them. As he walked towards them, they came to his feet and they were just sniffing around his feet and then they just ran off. He used a nice word there. They frolicked off. You hear that word much, do you, these days? Frolicked. I like that. Frolicked off. And they frolicked off. And he realized that's what it is. Having confidence in God, in his word. When it says resist the devil, I'll resist. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. The Bible said resist, I will resist. And I'll resist in him. Yeah. Knowing that in him, I'm strong. And I am not going to be a failure. I will have victory. I will walk in faith and victory in him. And you can only reach that position if you study the Bible. If you don't, I promise you this. As much as I promised the positive today, I'm going to warn you with this. If you don't study the Bible, the devil can get up to you and slap you around. He'll slap you and make you into, he'll try and make a fool of you. Because now you say you're a Christian. Okay, you're a Christian, are you? Rah, he says. You'll frolic off. One pastor said, he said, he came up to someone, he said, "I've got the devil on the run." And the pastor said to him, he said, "Oh, that's good." He said, "The only problem is he's running after me." That's not our testimony, is it? What a thing to say. "I've got the devil on the run, he's running after me." Oh my word. That's not our testimony, is it? No. Just the thought of it. And so he decided, he said, okay. So he had that dream and he realized what he needed to do. He had the dream and he said, right, I'm not going to allow this heartbeat thing to continue. I'm not going to be worried by it. I'm going to resist. And he said that he started to resist from that day onwards. And then when he reached old age, from that day onwards until old age, because he had applied the word, he'd studied the word, and now he was standing on the word. He was applying the word to his life. He didn't have one more night of that heart thing affecting him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Hallelujah. That's our testimonies, my precious brothers and sisters. You know, it's a glorious thing, isn't it, to be walking with Jesus? But let's make sure okay, that we are people of the Word, that we are standing on the Word, that we're studying the Word, that the Word is the bedrock of our lives, and that we are applying this Word to our daily walk. You know this scripture that we have, these leaflets, Living in Faith Everyday leaflets?
Yeah.
Very good, straightforward. But you know that we have a Bible study on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
It's a good diet from the church. The Word on Sunday, the Word on Wednesdays, encouragement towards these things in the week, recommendation of books to read on faith, victory on the Word, standing on the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together, everyone. All the power of the enemy is given us. Authority over all the power of the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for my precious brothers and sisters in this place. My precious brothers and sisters, thank you so much for each one here, Lord. Lord, we give you praise. We honor you, Lord. We give you praise. We honor you and give you praise. Thank you for the worship earlier today, Lord. The time of worship that we had, the wonderful, lovely presence that we have here today of yourself. Thank you so much. We give you praise. Praise his glorious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you for the Word of God, which, Lord, we want to apply to our lives. We ask you, Father, please help us apply the Word to our lives. Help us apply the Word to our lives, that this Word would be applied to our life, that we would be all that you've called us to be and do all that you've called us to do. And when everyone says amen, they seal it for their lives. I invite everyone now to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we're gonna continue. I know that some people are going next door. We're going to continue to worship here at the end. If you want prayer, just feel free to come to the front. We'll pray and we're going to continue to worship here. But the service is closed. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory.